It is an honor to minister during this season. In 2020, this past week, I was in West Virginia. The kids had hit a bit of a wall in their at-home learning the week before, so we decided to go to the grandparents' house to change it up. We needed to change our scenery up a bit. And there happened to be a pastoral conference that my dad was hosting at the same time. So it was a nice change of scenery for me as well. But on Tuesday morning, I was sitting at a breakfast with a room with about 20-something pastors, and every single one of us had the opportunity to say our names and to just say what was going on during this time. And it was testimony after testimony of in a very difficult and hard season, right? We can attest to that. Do I need to bring that up this morning, that it's been a little difficult, that it's been hard, that we have faced challenges this year? I don't think I need to get into that with you guys today, right? We know what we've been going through. But with that, every pastor had a testimony of God doing something great. Maybe even it was an older pastor who said, I didn't know how to run any type of video equipment or do anything online, and I asked the Holy Spirit for wisdom, and he stretched me. And now I'm able to go online and reach my community in a greater measure. Like, they were testifying of places where they were at, of what God was doing. And I was so encouraged. And then when it came to my time, I was extremely excited, and then I started crying. Because I'll be real with you guys, just about every service that we've had during this season, I have wept during worship because I'm just so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for Jesus. And this morning, as we get into this word and the word the Lord has given me, Joshua asked me to minister, and he goes, okay, last week, you know, I ministered on encouragement, and right in my spirit, the Lord said, I want you to minister to the people on how to encourage yourself in the Lord, because this is a foundational tool that we need every day of our lives, every single day. So for all of us that are here and for those that are watching online, we love you. If you're watching online with us, go ahead and share this message. Get a watch party going. Wake your kids up. We're going to participate today together because we're all the body of Christ. And I love Trailhead Church. I love y'all that are here. I love y'all that are home. We are in this together. And together today, we are going to get stirred up and encouraged in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As a matter of fact, during worship, I saw this in my spirit. I saw each one of us, some of us at home, some of us here, and right inside of your tummy area, kids, tummy area right here, there's a little pilot light. And then it was like flames just burning, where God was awakening our spirits. And the Holy Spirit was coming in. You see, some of you feel burned out. You've been discouraged. You've been weary, full of distress. It's been hard. Some of you at home, you felt so alone. And today, that pilot light that is already there by the Spirit of God is going to turn into a flame as you begin to stir up the gifts and what God is speaking to your heart. You see, we are participants in the body of Christ. We are a part of an unshakable kingdom. There's a shaking taking place, but it's not the kingdom of God. What's shaking off of us are the things that don't belong, the things of this world that we're not going to hold on to any longer. I'm determined that in this time of distress, in this time where you feel like it's a famine or you feel lost or alone, you've been hurt, it's been the toughest season of your life, I'm determined to encourage myself in the Lord and to recognize that God is God. How many of you believe this morning that God is God? Amen. Amen. Y'all can say this out loud. Come on. Amen. Amen. God is God, right? How many of you believe that Jesus is Lord? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose from the grave so you can be saved? Yes. Do you believe you're forgiven? Yes. All right, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We're actually going to be diving in this morning into the Old Testament, into a wonderful story that I pray encourages you to the place where you get so excited about the Word of God that you can't help but just to read more. Because that's what this Bible story did for me. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 30. For those of you that like to go ahead and find other places, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and then also in 1 Samuel chapter 27. And then our third and final place we'll go today is Psalm 103. So if you're taking notes, write those chapters down. You're going to want to read the entire chapter. I'll be recapping a good bit today. But I'm going to read this scripture and then we're going to pray and then we'll get into the main message here. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So we've been crucified with Christ, right? It's no longer me. This is no longer me. The old man is gone. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I daily clothe myself as a child of God, with the armor of God, with the spiritual armor that God has given me. But there's some key words in here. All right, you have a body. Do you guys have a body? Kids, you have a body? All the kids in here, all the kids at home, wiggle. You got one, right? You all know how to get your wiggles out? You have a body, right? We have a spirit, and we have a soul. We call this our earth suit, right? This is our earth suit. But the real person, the real you, is your spirit man. So he tells us that we live in our body by how? By fear. Do we live in our body by fear? Do we live in our body by confusion? No, we live by what? Faith. Well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God or hearing the works of Jesus Christ. So we are crucified with Christ. That means it's no longer I who lives, but the greater one, Jesus, is living on the inside of you now. The moment you received him, you've already testified this morning that Jesus is Lord. So now you're choosing to live in this life by faith. By faith in who? By faith in God. By adhering to, trusting in, completely relying on him. How many of us can say this is a season that we need? If I'm going to stick to anybody, I'm going to stick with Jesus. If I'm going to get in anybody's face, I'm going to get in the face of God. He doesn't have a mask on. And you know, I'm going to take my mask off when I go to him. You know, we've got a lot of people getting up in people's faces. It's time that you get out of people's faces and get in the face of God. It's time that you adhere to, that you begin to live this life by faith because you've already been crucified with Christ. He already paid it all for you. Why are you not just operating in what he's done for you? You see, this world needs a body of believers that's willing to wake up, arise, take their place, and encourage themselves in the Lord when things get hard. We're going to go through some stuff. If we had both hands and both feet raised, we all could say we've gone through some very difficult things this year. And in turning to 1 Samuel chapter 30, we're going to find King David going through some difficult things. Go ahead and turn your Bibles there. If you're at home, get your Bible out. Turn your Bible, get your notebook. Hook up with us today, wherever you are at. You see, we tend to relate with people who have had the same challenges as us. You know, in times of distress or discouragement, I may relate to you, but my identity is not defined through you. My identity is only defined through Jesus Christ. You can find common ground with people, but when you find yourself in a position and a place that when you're with someone else and all you're doing is relating to the problem, then it's time to allow the Holy Spirit to take over and breathe through your words. And that can only take place in times of distress and discouragement if we learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. So we see King David here. I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to read verse 6 in the Amplified. Then we'll get into the story. And you guys, this is good. David is one of my most favorite people in the Word of God. I like to say some of these people are my best friends because we're together all the time, you know. This is the best right here. So when I get into God's Word, I like to find people that I can draw from. And this right here, this really ministered to me. So in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it says, David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him because the souls of them were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. All right, let's talk about King David in this story of what is taking place. So David and his 600 mighty men, they had just been in the chapter previous with the Philistines, and the Philistines rejected David because David shouldn't have been there in the first place. And they basically said, "What are you doing here? You're not going to fight with us. Go back home." When David arrives back home to Ziklag, this is the third day. They're traveling mile after mile. They're tired. They're hungry. They're weary. They come into their city to see that their city has been burned to the ground. Their wives, their children, everything's gone. So now you can see David's place of distress. But we don't get the full picture here. Some of us, we look at this and we're like, "Oh my gosh, that's terrible, David. That's awful that this happened to you." But we need to know some of the backstory of what took place. And to do that, we're going to need to go to 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1. And in my Bible, it's like on the same page, like it's the next page before. So you don't have to flip very far. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1, I want to build this story. It's really good. But it says, "And David said in his heart," David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand." What took place after that? David said in his heart, you see, David was in a place of discouragement. And in that place of discouragement, in his battle with Saul, he said from his heart, "I am going to get out of God's perfect will for my life and go off on my own." And then he allowed Saul, the fear of Saul, the anxiety of Saul, the distress and discouragement of Saul, to speak into him in a time when he should have allowed the voice of God to speak into him. You know, I begin to think of this because out of this position, David, for over a year, like a year and 4 months or year and a half, David takes the 600 men, follow him into a godless land where they worship idols. They don't worship the true God, where the Philistines, they own the land, into a position where David becomes a thief, a murderer. He begins raiding these cities and actually killing the wives and the children. And it began with him saying in his heart, from a place of discouragement and a place of distress, we cannot allow the Sauls in our life to determine the path that we take, the journey that's before us. We can't allow the Sauls speak into us, the ones that have no fruit in your life, the ones that have no hand in your vision or your purpose. David didn't even have to say this out loud. It says he spoke in his heart. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life," or "out of your heart flows the issues of life." So in this place, David, and it didn't just affect him, he had 600 families follow him. When you allow discouragement and distress, when you allow the enemy to come in and to be the primary voice, then he's going to take you down a path. And the people around you, you ever been in a conversation when you're having a bad day and you recognize when you walk away, the Spirit of God says, you bore no good fruit out of that conversation. I mean, I've been there. A few months ago, I was having a hard time with the kids with some things. We were, you know, we're home all the time. And I found myself just going over all of the messes. And the Holy Spirit stopped me someday. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. He said, that's enough. You speak life. You prophesy into them. You speak the word. I don't want to hear you complain one more time about what's going on and the messes that are being made. You be thankful. I want you to get real grateful right now, Anna. And there was a change that took place. What you receive from God, the revelation you receive, even today, God will transform you immediately. The moment you receive that revelation, this past Wednesday at New Life Church there in Huntington, West Virginia, my brother is ministering a great word on rest. Man, I received a revelation from the Lord that night, and the weights lifted instantly. It was an instant transformation by the Spirit of God. By His Spirit. And He was talking about there are going to be some things that you never have the answer for. There are going to be some questions that you will never know the answer. There are going to be things you go through that only God can do. Why are you carrying it around? It wasn't anything, honestly, I hadn't heard before, but I had been meditating on it and getting in the Word, and my spirit was prepared to receive what the Holy Spirit was ministering that night, and it set me free. In this time of distress in David's life, it actually said, scholars say that there were no psalms that were written. He was silent. It was a time of silence in his life. Have you ever been to that place where you've been running from God? Or you've been in a position, you see, God's strength is always available. God's encouragement, His power is always available. God wasn't silent. David's communication with God was silent. He was closed off, not willing to receive. So now we see, you see, there are some times in our life that we're at a place of discouragement and distress out of ways that are out of our control, right? Where you're hurting out of something that came against you, that you had no control over. And then we go through times of discouragement and distress where we put ourselves there, where we listened to the wrong voice, or we allowed fear to come in. We allowed the Sauls to speak into us. And you know what's interesting about this? David goes to want to fight with the Philistines, and they know that he's not a part of them. They even say, this made me laugh. It said in verse 5 of 29, 1 Samuel 29, it said, is this not David of whom they sing to one another and dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? They're like, what are you doing here with us? Then he faced rejection from the Philistines. Have you ever been in a place of discouragement and distress and you face rejection from the world? And immediately the enemy tries to come in and tell you that you're rejected all the way around. When actually, if you look at this, if they would not have rejected him, David and his 600 mighty men would have been fighting for months on end. And who would even know what would have happened to his wife, their wives, and their children? God preserved David in the midst of that rejection. You see, this isn't just a story where we look at it and we're like, oh my gosh, they were going to stone him. You know, sometimes we can't relate to the thought of being stoned or the thought of our families being taken away. But you can relate to the fact of being in a place of distress, in a place of weariness, in a place of rejection, in a place where you need encouragement, in a place where maybe your marriage is in a position of stress, where your children are in a position of stress. And so what does David do? He encouraged and he strengthened himself in the Lord. Then it goes on to say that he asked of God. I mean, you guys, if you read the beginning of that chapter, they had wept all the tears they had. There were no tears left. Some of us have been to that place. David goes back to who God is. Then he asked of God, was God silent? Oh, no. God gave him instruction. He had an answer. And then David chose to obey God's voice. Well, in doing so, the 600 mighty men, they take off. 200 of them were so tired and weary, they just couldn't go on. So David put them in charge of the provision. He said, okay, I want you guys to stay here with all of our supplies. Whereas they're moving forward, they run into this Egyptian, this young man, who was left behind by the very people that stole all of the families. Now, David, in his time of distress, before all of this, what was he doing? He was going into cities and burning and pillaging and killing. Then the moment that he began to encourage the Lord, God transformed his heart. He comes upon this man. He feeds him. He takes care of him. He loves on him. He says, hey, what can we do? Can you tell us what's going on? And that Egyptian was able to tell them what had taken place and to lead them to where their families were taken captive. When David shows up into that place, it says they fought from twilight on and that every one of their family members was recovered. Every single one. And then out of that, not only were they recovered, but then David, they all got the spoil. They were blessed beyond measure. It's a total transformation. When we wake up and realize, God, I need to come to you. Lord, I need to encourage myself in you today. God, I need to ask for your help. Lord, I need you. I need your help today. And what I love is David, in this position of encouragement and help, you see, some of the men that he, out of that 400 that went to fight, that were on the front lines, when they got all those spoils and they began to divide it up, they said, hey, give back that 200 that stayed with the supplies, give them their wives and their kids, but the rest of this stuff, this doesn't belong to them. And David said, no. They are equally a part of this as you are. And I am making a declaration today that they receive all of the spoils as well. And you know, I begin to think about how good God is. And I begin to think about those that have been at home right now, that you feel like you're not a part of anything, or those that have been homebound, for those that have been in a place where you feel like you're on the sidelines. And God says, no, out of my encouragement, I'm going to come in and encourage you that you are equally a part of the body of Christ. You see, when you get in and encourage yourself in the Lord, it's not just for you to hoard it and keep it all to yourself. No, freely you have received, freely you give. A pastor told a story this past week how during the quarantine, a family moved in beside her mom, and they were a Haitian family, and they had 6 children, and they all could sing. And they started getting together and going to people's homes that were homebound and singing worship songs outside their door. And going to nursing homes and standing outside. And they would say, hey, this is what we're going to sing. They'd present them with a little paper to let them know. And then they would begin to worship the Lord and sing to bless these people. Being strong for the weak, for those that are tired. Church, it's time for us to recognize this isn't all about us. We are in this together. That as we encourage ourselves in the Lord, it's so that I can encourage you in the Lord. That fire that's burning on the inside of me is then an electrical current that shoots out that goes to you. That we spread the love of Jesus. That we're light bearers, not light hiders. Do y'all remember this little light of mine? I'm gonna let it shine, right? Hide it under a bushel. No! Right? I'm gonna let it shine. I'm not gonna let Satan it out, right? I'm going to let it shine. We know that. It's true. But it begins with your own encouragement in God. And this takes me to Psalm 103, and we're going to finish it up here. I want you to turn your Bibles there. What I love about this, you see, David had taken himself from God's people and from discouragement to a place of destruction. And God wants to take you from that place of discouragement and destruction to a place of deliverance today. God wants to set you free. He's already paid the price. Jesus paid for your deliverance. He paid for it all. Do you ever think about that, that Jesus came for it all? Jesus came for all, for it all. He's our all in all. You know, the word all in the Word of God is everywhere. And do you know what all means? All. Aren't you thankful that God, He covers everything? It's just who He is. He loves us that much. I love in this, before we get into Psalm 103, just thinking about God's strength being available today. God's strength was always there for David. David knew that God would strengthen him. Do you know that God is your strength? David didn't ask anyone else to do it for him. You have to get in your time, in your prayer closet, and in your word. Someone else can't do this for you. Now, people can sow into you and minister to you. God can use people. He does. But on your personal day-to-day walk, this is your responsibility. David received God's strength. He strengthened him. This is a supernatural and divine strength from God, strength from the living God for a hurt and broken man. God gives us His strength to what? To carry on. God gives us strength for repentance. God gives us strength to forgive one another. God gives us strength to be restored. God gives us strength to fulfill His purpose in our lives. God gives us strength to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. And it's the same strength that raised Jesus from the dead, that resurrection power that is already living on the inside of you. God's restoration and provision is for all. Hallelujah. Encouragement is for all. We're back to the word all. And strength is for all. In Psalm 103, we're going to go through verses 1 through 5. I encourage you to read the entire chapter. We don't have time to get into it all today. But it begins in David. This is David. And scholars believe that he could possibly be a little bit older during this time after he's gone through some stuff. And he's able to testify. And the Lord said, all right, Anne, I want you to show people how to encourage themselves in the Lord. And then he immediately took me to Psalm 103. Because sometimes we say this of like, hey, I want you to encourage yourself in the Lord. And you're like, okay, what do I do? So Psalm 103 is a great place to begin. I'm going to read it and then we'll break it down. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. How can I encourage myself in the Lord? You need to begin to bless God. Stop blessing the problem. All worship and praise belongs to the Lord. It's His strength, supernatural, divine strength that you're drawing from. Do you believe that God's resurrection power raised Jesus from the dead? Do you believe then, if you believe that, do you believe that God's resurrection power can raise you from the dead? We got to bless the Lord. And encouraging yourself begins with blessing Him. And He says, all that's within me. Have you ever gone into church and your body's there, but your mind is like 100 miles away? Church, it's a time that we open the deep places of our life up to the Lord. And that when you show up in the presence of God, you show up. You become a participator in the kingdom of God, spirit, soul, and body, to open yourself up fully to God. Is He going to show you some things and might it hurt at times? Yes. But it's for your good and His glory. It's deep crying out to deep. The world needs to see a body of Christ rise up that is in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Saying, God, I'm here. Get your mind in order. Get it in. Get your spirit here. Get your body here. Go all in. Get out of the shallow end and dive in. The deep places of your life crying out, God, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. Fill me up. Then he says to worship with everything that's within us. It's your choice. This doesn't just happen. God doesn't make you show up here and worship him. This is that moment where you say, God, I need you. God inhabits the praises of his people. We used to sing a song in children's church and it said, shake off those heavy bands, lift up those holy hands, let all of God's children praise the Lord. You got to shake off those heavy bands. Lift up your holy hands unto God and worship him today. And then he says, forget not all of his benefits. This is where in this time of worship and praise, you remember God's salvation in your life. And it begins with forgiveness from all sins. First, we're saved. Glory to God. You're saved. Set free. A child of God. Healed from all diseases. I am healed. Jesus is the great physician. Do you know this? Redeemed from destruction. God has rescued you. Man, I begin to think about this last night in just my time of prayer, of the times that God snatched me out of that pit of despair, how God rescued you from death. I know many of you can testify where you knew God came in and rescued you from a situation, brought you out of a situation, set you free. Preserved your life. He crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's his great love for you. God, I bless you for your great love. Then his true satisfaction, he satisfies you. True satisfaction only comes from God, and God is always good. Encouragement in the Lord produces good fruit in our lives. Then he renews your youth like the eagles. That's a tireless strength, you guys. Soaring over this life, renewed strong as an overcomer. That each day when you come and you find yourself in that place of distress or discouragement like David, maybe it's strength to repent. He needed to get his heart right with God. Maybe it's just, God, I need you. Then you get into Psalm 103 and you begin to bless his holy name. God, you saved me. I'm forgiven. I am going to heaven. I am set free. I am loved. Do you know? As you get in and press in, praise God. God takes you from dread to deliverance, from destruction to deliverance. He restores, he replenishes, he revives, he renews. Praise God. Church, I want you to close your eyes and bow your head. For those at home, we're going to pray. God loves you so much. God's taken care of you today, and you are not alone. Whether you've been on the front lines or you're the 200 and you've been in a battle and you've been weary, God has full provision for all. We are all of his favorites. And that's good to know today, amen? As we begin to pray, I want you to search your heart this morning. Do you know him? Have you received him? Have you been like David? David was backslidden. We're going to call it out. Have you been like David in a backslidden state of mind, doing your own thing, allowing the Sauls of this world to determine your next steps? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, today is the day of salvation, an acceptable year. This is the time. The time is now to get your heart right, to allow the Lord to transform your life, and to get on a path with Jesus, and it's a path of freedom, of God helping you every step of the way. So this morning, if you don't know him and you would like to receive him as your Lord and Savior, I want you to just lift your hands up right now. If you would like to make Jesus Lord over your life, if you're at home and you have never received Jesus as Lord, and you are watching with us today, we want to pray with you. If you feel like you have fallen away, you've taken a step back and it has been silent on your end and you want to draw near to God and come to that place of repentance, I want you to lift up your hand this morning. If you're at home and you know that's you, of God, I need to draw close to you. Lord, I have not been doing what you have asked me to do. And we're going to pray the prayer of salvation together. And if you pray this with us today, I want you to message the church, email the church, call the phone number that we put out. We are in this with you in the body of Christ. This morning, if you pray this prayer, our altar care team is ready and available. They want to give you things. You're not alone in this. This is the best decision of your life. And then outside of this, you keep growing in the Holy Spirit. You allow Him to fill you up to get baptized in the Spirit of God. And the Lord's going to help you every step of the way. So this morning, we're going to pray this all together and come in agreement. Say, Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for all of my sins. Forgive me, wash me, make me whole. I believe that Jesus rose from the grave so I can be saved. So I openly declare that Jesus is my Lord, that I am a child of God. And Holy Spirit, fill me up, full and overflowing, so I can operate in all that you've called me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. This week, encourage yourself in the Lord. And for those joining us online, we want you to stick around because Pastor Christian has a great children's message. And get your kids involved. Get them stirred up because it's going to be great. We love you guys. God is faithful. And we cannot wait until we are all together. Amen. We'll see you guys soon.